need to know anything about college football? Consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, joins us Tuesdays. Last week he got so busy he couldn't do it, he hooked up with us on Wednesday. Griff, later that day, Wednesday, when you and I talked, all hell broke loose down there. Were you anticipating, was anybody anticipating a news story of that magnitude?
Not that I'm aware of. I wasn't anticipating that. There's a part of me that, still can't believe it's going to really happen, but it sure looks like it's really going to happen. And, the way to think about this, Bill, because my inkling, and just from the folks I've talked to and social media I've gauged, I don't know that the SEC fans are real excited about it. I think they look at this like, we don't need these teams. So, why are we doing this, right? But I think the way to look at it is if not the SEC, then who? I mean, Texas and A&M are getting out. And if you want the SEC to stay number one, which it is, clearly, then you probably want Texas and Oklahoma rather than Texas and Oklahoma going to another conference. If we are indeed moving towards the four 16-team super conferences, and it sure looks like we are, and when I say we, I'm talking about television, and I'm talking about money, and I'm talking about them turning college football into the NFL. And I don't like it, but money talks and greed walks. And so that's where we're at, is television networks are turning college football into the NFL because that's what the lunatic fringe likes. This is what the Super Bowl crowd likes. And, we're kind of kicking and screaming, getting it dragged along with it, but there's no choice. So if it's going to go this direction, and if you got to add two more teams, I guess it might as well be Texas and Texas A&M. Texas and Oklahoma.
Mike Griffith with us. This might not be important, but I do want to bring it up, and I brought it up earlier on the show. How does a story of that magnitude not leak prior?
Right. No doubt.
I get it.
I'm with you. Secrecy, money, again. Because the people making these decisions know the college fan base isn't going to like this. They know there's going to be resistance, and so they have to keep it quiet. And so it's almost like a sneak attack, right? It's almost like there's no time for anybody to protest. There's no time for anybody to come up with solutions. Somebody decided in a room that this is what we're going to do, and don't tell anybody, because if we tell them, they may try to stop us. Completely different than the college football playoff, right, where we talk about it some more, and we make sure everybody's fired up when we really like it, and we say, okay, guys, we got to wait two or three more years now, okay? You see how they did that? Versus this, you wake up one day, and oh, by the way, next Monday, Texas and Oklahoma are pulling out. So are we being manipulated? Yes. Is this anything different than what happens in Fortune 500 companies? No.
Brock Westfold up in Wisconsin, and I'll just paraphrase his question. It's Griff, looking at the Big Ten, do you think they will go after any of the remaining Big 12 teams and or some of the Pac-12?
Iowa State and Kansas look like the most likely, right? They're already in Iowa. Kansas, great basketball school, very good academic school as well. I think Iowa State and Kansas would be the Big 12, the Big 10 additions.
And you don't think much would happen with them trying to reach further west?
No, because even with air travel, you still have some of those non-revenue sports. I mean, that's the other question. Is the integrity of these new conferences going to be maintained in non-revenue sports? That's what I'd like to know. I hope so. I hope we have these conferences have baseball and softball and, certainly basketball and the other, track and other non-revenue sports. I hope there's still some integrity to the conferences across the board. We all know it's about football because that's where all the money's at. And football is what pays for everything else. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but, you know, to me, I think, you know, some of the Big 12 teams or the former Big 12 teams kind of splice off and get into the Pac-12. I'm more interested in what happens to some of the group of five power is an oxymoron, but, you know, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Boise State, BYU, you know, where do these schools land? You know, that's kind of my curiosity.
West Coast Sooner out in Los Angeles says, ask Griff about the proposed new East and West, where Alabama and Auburn would be in the SEC East, and, of course, you would just have a line drawn straight down the map there. I guess Alabama would be the furthest team to the West in the East, if that makes sense, if that map is right. There's also a proposal that, again, Griff, I don't know if it's a proposal, but an idea that they'd go to these quadrants, these four quads or whatever, or the pod system. Any idea about that in the future?
This looks like a wish list for Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC and not have to play Alabama and Auburn. No, I don't see this. I don't see Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Georgia all being in the same division. I don't think that's going to happen. I know Texas and Oklahoma are used to calling the shots and getting their way in their conference, but they're going to have to get used to a new way of life in the SEC because the SEC isn't going to play that SA stuff. They ain't going to play that, okay? And that's going to be the biggest adjustment for Texas and Oklahoma, is that they're not going to be able to bully every other team in the league. That can't happen in the SEC. That absolutely cannot happen in the SEC because they have run roughshod and bulldozed the Big 12, the Big 8, the Southwest Conference. They had inequitable revenue at one point. They're shot callers. They're running. They do what they want. That can't happen in the SEC. If you're going to take these two bully schools in, Greg Sankey's got to sit them down and have a talk with them and say, look, you know, even you can't pick on Vanderbilt, okay? Sometimes they don't show up for games, but we're not going to talk about that. And you can't have an inequitable revenue sharing base in this league. The SEC does not do that. It has been managed very well since Roy Kramer really put on the map. So that's something to really look hard at. I'm not sure how pods just doesn't do it for me. I know that's NFL divisions. Can we just stop, though, trying to turn it into the NFL, Bill? Can somebody just draw the line and say, hey, wait a minute. There's some things about college football that we really like. Can we just stop trying to turn it into the doggone NFL?
I agree with you, Griff, but I tell you, I'm beat down to the point on that one where I just throw my hands in the air, you know?
It's frustrating. Almost as frustrating as watching the U.S. softball team losing the gold medal game again because they didn't throw the best pitcher in the world again. I don't get it. I get it. Everybody wants Kat Osterman. Did she say she wouldn't play if she didn't pitch or something? I mean, how do you not start Monica Abbott? I'm just beside myself. I feel so bad because she's the best pitcher in the world, and they did start her in the gold medal game. They bring her on in relief in the fifth inning, down 1-0 with a runner on second. It's like, what? Who's coaching this team? What the heck is going on, man? And then there was an athlete in another sport that pulled out because of mental. Who knows what's going on? It's like the basketball team. It's just like, what is going on with these Olympics, man? I mean, is it the different time zones? Maybe just being on the complete other side of the world, it just seems like it's been a really tough start for our Olympians, Bill.
Yeah, and Griff, I don't even know what network it's on. That's how far out of the loop I am with it. I haven't watched
it. It's hard to watch live. It is. I found the NBC app today and streamed it. And wish I would have streamed it earlier. But now that I found it, it is NBC. You can stream it through your cable network. But listen, I don't want to just complain about things. I'm excited about the start of college football. I'm excited about the SEC this year, okay? Texas and Oklahoma and all that, that's later. But this year's SEC, this year's college football season, Gus Malzahn at Central Florida, new coaches at Auburn, excited to see that. You know, this was pretty amazing. You know, there wasn't an SEC Media Days last year. So that meant this year there were 8 new coaches. Think about that. 8 out of the 14 jobs have changed in the SEC in the last 2 years. I'm covering Kirby Smart in his 6th year He's the third longest tenured coach in the SEC, and he's only going into his 6 years. It's unbelievable.
Anything out of the meetings in general, aside from OU and Texas, pushing that aside, that jumped out at you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I went to Charlotte, and I was really impressed with the ACC media days and really impressed with Dabo Swinney and his players. I mean, Clemson really, they've done a great job building a program there. And because they're in the ACC, I don't think they get a lot of credit. But I'm really impressed with Dabo and the program he's built. I was impressed with his presentation in Charlotte. The Clemson players, that Georgia-Clemson game is going to be a whale of a game. I mean, you're going to have two really prepared teams. Maybe the best two teams in the country at the start of the season. When you think about it, Alabama's got to grow into a lot of those new starters they have. By the end of the year, the Tide will be rolling. To what extent, I don't know. But you can bet that Saban's hit the reload button. That's the story I want to watch. I mean, if Nick Saban can win the SEC again after losing six first-round draft picks and his offensive coordinator, what a story that'll be. And he is a dynamo. You know, there's some other news that came out last week, Bill. I don't know if I had a chance to talk about it on the show with that Spurrier Award, but we're actually going to have a press conference that we're going to stream on SEC Country tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Steve Spurrier. I didn't know this. Spurrier 3-1 against Saban. Spurrier was 3-1 against Saban. Won four straight SEC titles. Saban hasn't done that yet. What an incredible coach Steve Spurrier was. A Tennessee native right there from Johnson City. And he was the guy that a lot of schools love to hate, but boy, because he was so good, right? And he was fun. And he was a lot of fun. And I miss Steve Spurrier in the SEC. He was a personality and a great coach. And, I think we're starting to see more guys step up a little bit. I saw Eli Drinkwitz with some personality there. Obviously, Lane Kiffin owns social media. Saban, I think, has become really entertaining and an effective leader. What Nick Saban says, I listen to. I enjoyed his presentation and what he had to say about vaccines and things like that, about how that was one more hurdle for chance. How it affects your team's chances to compete. I mean, he looks at it in wins and losses, man. Forget the science. Nick's all about football. Hey, could this stop us from winning a football game? Let's get it out of the way. So that was kind of interesting, I thought.
So yeah, I didn't realize that. I must have lost track of you. So you left the SEC and headed over to Charlotte for the ACC.
I did. I had what I thought was a really good idea of driving from Birmingham to Charlotte, and 8.5 hours later, I realized it would have been much better to get on a Southwest flight in Birmingham or something and get to Charlotte, whatever, Air Delta, whatever, and fly because it was the highways right now. And listen to me talking to people in Nashville about bad traffic and bad highways. But right. My goodness, how perilous. I think I heard that there's been more casualties, even though there's been less traffic. I mean, it is a real mess out there, especially in the summer. And so I'd encourage anybody that's out there driving and listening to be extra careful. Extra. My head was on a swivel, man. I was extra careful. And I'm usually a pretty defensive driver. But this time I was super careful because I was seeing wrecks everywhere. And there were times, Bill, the traffic was so bad, I just pulled off. I said, you know what? I'm not driving in this, or I'm not sitting in this. I'm going to pull off and find a place to eat and cool my heels and get a meal or something because those roads right now, particularly in the southeast with these trucks, and I know they have a job to do, but it just makes it a little bit more difficult to navigate. Very perilous interstate conditions in the southeast right now.
Griff, we will see you next Tuesday, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation.